Well, guess where we are tonight? Ephesians, that's good. We're going to be in the 15th verse. There was a time that I took on the book of the Revelation, verse by verse. Took us 2.5 years, but that was pretty awesome. I did have people asking me if we were ever going to get out of the book of the Revelation, and I said, well, we got to do something on Sunday night. We might as well just continue studying on the book of the Revelation. So if it seems like we've been in Ephesians a long time, well, we really haven't. Not even close to 2.5 years yet. We're going to start in verse number 15. So if you've been following along, we're in verse 15 tonight. And if you found that, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read all the way through verse number 23. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love and to all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave to him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this book. I thank you, dear God, for Paul. I thank you for his life. I thank you, Lord, that you changed a man who was after the death of Christians. And Lord, you sought him out and he responded. And Lord, now because of that, most of our New Testament is written by him. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that we have the opportunity to read this book tonight. Thank you for sending us your word that we could have. Thank you, dear God, that you gave us your manual so that we would have it every day. We can read it and study it, and we can learn more about you. Father, we'll ask these things in your Son's name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you're taking notes, I have a quick note for you. This is one of four of the Apostle Paul's letters written from prison. So if you want to take notes, I'm going to tell you where those four prayers that he wrote while he was in prison. The first one is right here, Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. So that's the first prayer that we have written, in our scriptures. The other one was in chapter number 3, verses 14 through 21. So chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. We also have in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, another prayer. And then Colossians chapter number 1, 9 through 12. So Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, Philippians 1, 9 through 11, and also Colossians 1, 9 through 12. So far in the book that we have been studying, we have found basically three things. We have found in Paul's writing here, he has given us an idea of God in eternity past. So all the things that he does, from the foundation of the world, the creation of the world, the creation of all things, he lets us into that, and he also lets us into the understanding that there's an adoption, and that adoption is for you and I. And by the way, I'm just going to put in a little plug here. In next month, we're going to have an Orphan Sunday. And you say, what is that? Well, hang on. You're going to find out. I'm very excited about the opportunity to join in with other churches in proclaiming the need and for orphans. But, you know, one of the reasons I really want to do this is because I'm an orphan. No, I had mommy and daddy, but I was an orphan. And one day, I became a child of the King. So we're all orphans to some extent, right? So anyhow, that's just a plug. So be ready for that one. Number two is God the Son's work in history, if you will. So we look at the work that Jesus Christ has done, and he's opened that up for us to kind of tell us what's happening. And so for you and I today, he's expressed that. He's also expressed the work of the Holy Spirit, not only in time past, but also in time present and in time future. We know that when he went away, when Jesus went away, he says, I'm going to send the Comforter, and the Comforter will come, and that Comforter then is going to be with us. It's kind of an awesome thing to realize. We come and we worship God, and we worship Jesus Christ. We sing these great worship songs that we sang tonight. But to understand, he's actually living in us. We can worship, and we worship kind of looking to heavens, but the Holy Spirit is right here already, if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So when we worship, aren't we really then saying, my spirit is the same as a spirit that that God sent us? And so therefore, man, when we worship, we understand worship. It's not fake or anything else. I'm thinking of the words holy, holy, holy. I mean, I go back to Revelation chapter number 1. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And I just, those words just came to be so much to me because I understand the work that God has. There's work in the past, there's work in the present, and there's work in the future. And we are not slack from any of that. We are to take charge and buckle up. I may have some shirts made, buckle up. That comes from this morning's sermon anyway. Buckle up. I mean, how exciting can the work of God be if we are totally plugged in to what he wants us to do? How exciting can the work be if you and I will say, Lord, more of you and less of me? How exciting can it be? Well, I tell you, Paul here is just as excited because he's now going to tell them, if you will, the revelation of God unto the church. Now, we know that God is speaking here into the mind and heart of Paul, and Paul is writing this to the church at Ephesus, but he's also writing it tonight to you and I. So this prayer that he prays tonight ought to be a good one. I mean, you know, we ought to take note and say, okay, if this is one of his prayers, then let's find out what it really means and what he's really saying. And maybe it can also be a type of a prayer that you and I would pray. You know, we all know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We know that one, because Jesus said, you want to learn how to pray? Well, this is a great model, if you will. But Paul prayed consistently, and when he's praying from jail and writing to somebody else that may be going through persecution, and his ideal is not one of being down and, oh me, oh why, oh me, oh why. Instead, he is saying, hey, there's great things going on, and there's great things that are going to happen to you in the future. I want you to be prepared for that. So let's just kind of take a look here at this. We just read it, but let's take it kind of word for word. He says, wherefore I also, so he's putting himself in place here, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto the saints. Now, he's in prison, and don't you know he wants to get a report? I mean, you know, he wants to get a report. How's the work going? You know, I love it when a missionary comes and joins us because the questions I get to ask is, how is your work? How are you doing? What support and need do you have? I love to ask them those questions because they're doing something that I am not. This morning as I was preparing to show the video for Operation Christmas Child, my wife had picked out one, and it's a great one. It's we didn't show it this morning, but there's a little boy, and this little boy comes running onto the screen, and he learned to read from his grandmother's Bible. And so his prayer was, Lord, I need a Bible because his grandmother died. I need a Bible. 2 weeks later, Operation Christmas Child shows up. He opens up the box, and guess what's in there? Now, that's just coincidence. No, that's not coincidence. The reason I didn't bring it today is this morning is because he talks is faster than me, and his English is about my English, and it was bouncing off the walls, and I thought, nobody's really going to hear what he has to say, but I got to tell you, what a glorious story. What a wonderful story we heard today. 19 children sharing a bar of soap. And what was his greatest thing when he opened up the box? A bar of soap, Irish Spring, and a washcloth. Boy, don't we take a lot that we just think, Lord, I don't have as well as my next door neighbor. And yet there are people who are saying, just a bar of soap and a washcloth, and I'll be a happy person. So he says here, I'm writing this to you because I've seen and I'm hearing the report. And the report is that you have great faith in the Lord Jesus and that you have you have great love unto all the saints. Now, it is hard to love many things in the world. And sometimes it's hard to love the saints. Can I get an amen? Nah, I figured. Okay, so sometimes it's hard to love the saints. But I got to tell you, he says here, I've heard that you love the saints. You're giving and you're sharing and you're doing the things that you need to do. You're making sure that nobody is going that they have needs that are not being met. And he says here, I want to tell you that cease not to give thanks for you. He says, this is what I'm doing for you. What a great way to pray. What if we ceased not to pray for each other here tonight? What if we took it upon ourselves and said, you know what? Starting tomorrow, when I have my prayer time, I am going to open up my prayers for you. And maybe you can visually start putting it in your mind. Now, I already know that there are certain people who sit certain places on Sunday morning. I know that. Because I look for you. I mean, I sit up in the choir and I start looking. Okay, I know the folks who sit over here. And I know those rascals that sit on this side. I know all them. And I know the people who sit in the middle. And I tell you, we start praying. And I just love praying for folks by name. It's much better than saying, oh, I pray for my church today. Isn't it much better to say, I pray for Bob today, Bob Beasley. I pray for him, and I want to lift him up. I know what the workload that he has, blah, 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 blah. And we can go through all those. But wouldn't it be nice if that's the way we prayed for everybody here? He says, you cease not, and I cease not to pray for you. The things that you're doing, I'm praying for you. I know that you're showing the Christian spirit, if you will, because you are sharing that with everybody, and you're sharing with the saints. He says, and cease not to give thanks for you and making mention of you in my prayers. What a glorious thing that would be. So I challenge you. Just look at the people in front of you, on the side of you, and behind you, and just look at those folks, and you tomorrow just pray for those folks. You don't have to pray for the whole church, just pray for those in front of you, even if you don't know who they are. Just say, okay, I'm going to pray for them tomorrow. I'm telling you, you got them? All right. Verse 17, he says for this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What a great prayer. Remember, they didn't have this. So he's writing to them this letter, and he says, I want to tell you, I'm going to pray for you that you have knowledge. Because that knowledge can only come from the Holy Spirit and from them understanding the teaching of those disciples that have been sent to them and those apostles that have made their trip about them and those now who have been called to pastor this church. This is what is going on. And he says, I'm praying that you would have knowledge. So that would be a good place to start tomorrow morning. Pray for that person in front of you. Pray for their health and those kind of things, but also pray for knowledge. Pray that God will just open up their hearts to knowledge. Pray that they'll be able to open up the scriptures and read it like they never read it before. That they'd be able to understand it like never before. That they would grow and strengthen themselves. He said, this is what I pray for you. He says, and he follows that up and says this, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He said, not only am I going to pray for your knowledge, but I'm going to pray that your eyes of understanding will also be open. See, how does that line go in the song we just sang? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart that I might see you. Is that I want to see you. That's a catchy phrase, isn't it? Open the eyes of my heart. Not the physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes. Open the eyes of our heart. Well, that's be interesting too. So tomorrow, pray for knowledge for those folks in front of you, but also pray that the eyes of their heart would be opened as well. Paul says this is what's going on. He says, I want to pray that for you. And he says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints. You see, it's one thing for you and I who've grown up in America. We've grown up in freedom. We've grown up in maybe church and Sunday school. We've been through these things for years and years and years and years. And I want to tell you, just because you've been in church for years and years and years does not mean you got it all. Everybody okay with that? Doesn't mean you got it. I had a deacon that served with me for a while, and whenever he would come to Bible study, he'd bring his Bible, he'd sit it right there and never open it. And I asked him one time, I said, well, what are you doing? I said, don't you want to open it? He says, oh, I know those verses. I think he needs to have the eyes of his heart opened. This is what I have for you. This is what I want. The glory of the inheritance of the saints. So, let me just ask you tonight, and are we streaming? Okay. So you don't have to talk out real loud, but I'd like to know, what are, in your opinion, what are some of the inheritance of the saints? Just raise your hand and I'll call on you. What are some of the inheritance of the saints? Yes, sir. Salvation. We like that one a lot, don't we? I mean, after all, that's the one key point component. We like to know that from this point forward, we're saved and we're going to be saved forever. After I die, there's a place that I'm going to. It's everlasting upon everlasting upon everlasting. And when that time period is over, there's more everlasting and everlasting and everlasting. I mean, time will be non-existent. We won't even understand time at that point. So you're right. Salvation is one of those. What's another one? Raise your hand so I can... Yes, sir. Yes, Brent. Peace. Okay, good. Justification. Sarah. Heavenly home. Answered prayers. Suffering. Can you say it again? Guidance from the Holy Spirit. Love. Are these not marvelous? I mean, on each one of these, couldn't we build a whole study on each one of these things that we've just said? And he says, here's what I want to do. He says, I want you to know that there's inheritance that you have. Now, inheritance is kind of a fun thing to think about sometimes. I never had the opportunity to plan for an inheritance from my parents. They were just poor as all get out, and I knew there wasn't anything coming from them. But my kids have teased me a little bit, and they said, Dad, what are you going to leave us? And I said, absolutely nothing. Your mommy and I are going to spend it all. But inheritance, we understand. That's getting something that is being passed down to you. It's special. You've been written into somebody's will, and you receive this inheritance. He said, I'm praying for you. And I'm praying for you that you would understand the inheritance that you have because of Jesus Christ. Let's continue on. He says, it's important. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Let's think about that a minute. What is the exceeding, that means beyond comprehension probably, right? What is the exceeding power that God has that he will bestow upon us? What is that? What is his power? Again, raise your hands. Power. A little harder, isn't it? Yes, sir. Resurrection. Absolutely. His power. Yes, ma'am. Eternal life, sure. It's his power. He's invested that in us. What else? Power. Yes, ma'am. Okay, Spirit of God living through us? Yes. Victory over sin. Power. Yes. Unconditional love. Yes. So we understand. Yes, go ahead. Forgiveness. Yes. I think about the power that God has. Now, just think about this. If there was no resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I also would not be resurrected. So, the big thing about Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying for your sins is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But it's not the totality. If he just laid in a grave and moldered and his body became dust and dust and ash to ash, then you and I, we found the wrong Messiah. But he wasn't that way. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And when he rose from the grave, now he sits at the right hand of the Father. This is the power that God has, and he has given it to you and I because inside of us we have the Holy Spirit. I find that him writing this to the congregation there at Ephesus, and more specifically for you and I tonight, we need to quit thinking that we have no power in this world. And let me tell you some of the greatest places where I've ever seen God's power is when God has changed a person's mind and they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You've witnessed to them, you've talked to them, you prayed for them, you prayed over them, you just tears fall from your eyes because you want this person saved, and it's no, 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 no. And then suddenly you get a phone call and say, hey, I want to tell you what happened to me. I found Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And you almost want to do, you want to do the moonwalk. I mean, you want to get up, you want to be excited because you've been praying for this person. And this person now has accepted Jesus Christ. I can tell you what, that is nothing that you have done. It is what Jesus Christ has done through his shed blood. And God says, accepted. I accepted. That's his power that he gives. So he says here in this particular point, he says, exceeding greatness of his power to us. It's not that just he has that great power. It's not that he just exhibits that great power, but he puts that great power toward you and I. Man, I tell you, that excites me to no end. I'm glad to know that God cares for me so much that he is going to direct his power in my way, to me. And he says, who believe? Now, there's the key. In order for you to have these things that he's speaking about so far, in order for you to have the power, in order for you to have these blessings, in order for you to have these things, you got to believe. You know, I'm one of those guys who I particularly don't care for what was called the sinner's prayer. And if you want to fight with me later, that'd be okay. I don't believe a sentence or a prayer out loud necessarily saves you. Because the Bible tells me it takes belief. And anybody can say the words. So I'm one who really wants to make a relationship with somebody and share Jesus Christ with them, and for them then to accept Jesus Christ or reject. It's not my role. It's up to them. They have to say yes or no. But I tell you, it's more than a prayer. It's a change. It's a changed life. And it's a changed life because the Holy Spirit now comes in to dwell. It's not a sentence prayer, although it can be. But belief is the key. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you believe that we should be in awe of him? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Do you believe that before anything was created, he was the Creator? Do you believe that he rose from the dead? Do you believe that our sins were placed upon him? Do you believe that he died and was buried in a tomb according to Scripture? Do you believe that he rose again on the third day? Do you believe that he walked around and was seen by many people and at 1,500? Do you believe that one day he was taken up into heaven and he looked at his disciples and said, go ye therefore into all nations, preaching, teaching, and baptizing, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you believe that, then that is what takes you into salvation. It's belief. And then it's faith that says, I'm going to act on that belief. It's belief and faith. And of course, then you got to confess your sins. So he says here, you've done this. And because of that, I can pour out my heart to you, and I can show you the things that I have for you, because he's got a lot more in this letter to give him. Look what he says after that. He says, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. You see, everything that you and I stand for today, we call ourselves Christians because we should be like Christ. And there are many today that are professing the name of Christ, and they don't act like Christ. If we are angry with our neighbors, and if we are angry with our wives, if we are angry with our parents, if we are angry with our children, if we are angry, 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 I don't think that is what Christ had in mind. I think that if we have all those things that are going on in the world, then I think we need to take a close look and say, okay, do I really have a walking relationship with Jesus Christ? Am I really a representative of him on this earth? Oh, that today people would recognize you, not as your name, but they would recognize you as a Christian. What if you walked into work, maybe you started a new job, would they know you immediately as a Christian? Would they see it on your face? Would they hear it in your voice? When the hard times come, do you rely on God rather than crying and moaning about it? Do you do that? You see, if we're going to represent Christ on this earth, and that's why he left us here, I think I've told you before, there's only one reason he hasn't sucked us up to heaven, and that is because it's not time, and number two is we've got a job to do. You and I have a job to do. Somebody out there needs to hear from you. Somebody out there needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be awesome if we doubled in Sunday school, not for numbers, but because people are coming to a salvation of Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be great in a few weeks if we start having to have weekly baptisms because you're buckled in and you are professing the name of Christ, and people are responding, and we have to have them start standing on the stairway because there are so many of them to be baptized. They have belief. By faith, they believe and they confess their sins, and salvation is there. That is what the whole New Testament church is all about. The New Testament church is not about buildings. The New Testament church is all about you and I talking to one, you and I speaking to another, you and I professing Christ to others, you and I discipling somebody else, you and I doing the work. It's not about they doing the work. It's not about the staff here doing the work. It's about you and I together doing the work. You see, I can't be where you are. Each of you live in different places. Some live in over in, I don't think anybody lives in Killeen, do they? Killeen? Okay. Anybody live in Harker Heights like me? Salado? Salado. Okay, good. We have some folks from Moody. Do we have folks from east or west? Other than Morgan's Point? Further than that? Okay, Moffitt. Okay, okay. I don't live in Moffitt. I don't live in Salado. I don't live in those places. I live in Harker Heights. And guess what? God put me there. Now, I'm going to look to move here, but I'm that's where I'm at right now. And I believe that he's put each one of us in a place where we can be an absolute witness for Jesus Christ and people that the rest of us could never reach. He says, this is what I'm praying for you. He says, I want you to know that all this happens because of Christ. It's not because of you. It's because of Christ. It's the work that he has done. And he says here, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. What does chapter 1 and verse 3 say? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Guess what? Jesus is in heavenly places. He's already there. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now that, if nothing else, if we had no other crowns that are given to us, if we had nothing else that would be works that would be given to us when we go to heaven, that should be the greatest thing in the world, that Jesus is already there. He paid the price, and he is enough. I get so tired of religions today that say that Jesus isn't enough. Well, the Bible says you got to be baptized in order to be saved. The Bible says you got to speak in tongues or you can't be saved. Blah, 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 blah. Jesus' work is enough. All these other things are great. Being baptized is wonderful. First act of salvation, first act of obedience. Yes, we really like that. However, you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. Also, you could be baptized so many times that all the fish know you by name, and that will not matter one way or the other. So, you and I today, he's speaking to us, and he says in important words, all this is wrought in Christ. In other words, it's all brought about because of the work of Jesus Christ. And he says, importantly, he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And then he says, far above all principality, that's the worldly things that we have here, and all the worldly power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. His name will be raised far above any other name. No other name will be higher than his. God himself says, no other name will be higher than his. You know what God is saying? God is saying, his name will be raised higher than my name. His name will be higher than the name of the Holy Spirit. It is his work that has done the salvation for you and I. It is his work that has made you and I so that we can have eternity, that we can have power, that we can have... We can go right into the throne room of God, and all we have to do is say, Lord, Heavenly Father. And positionally, we're in heaven. Positionally, we're speaking to God at that very moment. Who else has that? He says, I want to tell you this is exciting. He says, from all those things. And then he says here, but also that which is to come and hath put all things under his feet. Now, that's a term that means that he's in total control. Anybody that would be under his feet means that he is the one, nobody else is beneath, above him, nobody else is to the right of him, nobody else is to the left of him. He is in control, and everybody else then is under his authority. Well, I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited about that. I'm excited that the Savior who died for me is the one who has ultimate authority. I'm excited about that. And he says, and gave to him to be the head over all things to the church. So church, let me speak to you just a moment. And I'm not talking to you strictly as Lakeview Baptist Church. We're all part of the church. If you're saved and you made a confirmation of Jesus Christ in your heart, you are part of the church. And one day, Jesus is coming back for his church. Now, we sit in a nice air-conditioned building, and I'm tickled to death of that. We sit in a room where there's lights on tonight. We sit in a room where they're actually streaming on Facebook right now so other people can see what is going on here in our service. We have all that, but do you know what? There are Christians tonight who are meeting, and they're meeting under the threat of death. Had a missionary friend of mine tell me that when they have a meeting, it normally takes about 2 hours for all the people to get there, because they kind of come in one at a time, then wait a little bit, then somebody else comes in one at a time, one at a time. Then they have their meeting, and then afterwards it takes them about 2 hours to leave. Can I use the C word? That's commitment. I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to go there and I'm going to learn whatever Jesus has for me. Holy Spirit, speak to me and open up my heart. He says, all these things are put in him, and he's doing it because he is the head of all things, including the church. Thank you, God, that you place Jesus Christ ahead of the church. But not only that, he's the bridegroom. He is the one who's going to come back for his church. God's not going to send somebody else. It's going to be Jesus coming back in the clouds. Ooh, I can't wait for that day. Whether I'm alive or dead, I can't wait for that day. Can you imagine how cool this is going to be? Wouldn't it be great right now if it happened? I don't know how we'd make it through the ceiling. What'd you say? He is in control. I don't know how he makes it through the ceiling. I don't know. Do I have to wear a sweater? I mean, because it's going to be pretty cool at 10,000 feet. I shouldn't worry about that. You're absolutely right. How cool is that going to be? It says, we'll see him in the eastern sky, and all eyes will see him. Ooh. I've jumped out of an airplane now, and I know kind of what it's going to be like. Except it's going to be the opposite way. There'll be no jumping out. There'll be a jumping up. I mean, can you just imagine? I mean, think about it a minute. It doesn't matter what your weight is. Doesn't matter what your size is. Doesn't matter what your color is. All those things don't matter. The only thing that matters is, are you in position with Jesus Christ? And when he comes back and he says, bride, I don't know what he's going to say. Come on. I love you. And all eyes are going to see him. And we're going to be sucked up. You can use the word rapture if you want to, but I kind of like the sucking up moment. I kind of like that. Because if you've ever used a vacuum cleaner and you've been doing something, all of a sudden it goes, and you say, uh-oh, I sucked up the wrong thing. Now you got to go through all that stuff. That's how I feel it's going to be. He's going to put his big old vacuum cleaner right over Bob Crowder, and I'm going to be sucked right up. You know, the real term is the snatch. Now, I'd rather be sucked up than snatched, I think. But anyway, that's what's going to happen. We are all going to be able to go to heaven. If we know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when he comes back, there we go. And I'm going to be waving. I'm going to be waving on all you guys. I'm going to have a big smile on my face. Say, hey, Bob, come on, my brother from another mother. Yeah, come on. We are going to have so much fun going to heaven. Can you imagine if you are in a church that's being persecuted and you receive this letter? You can't say, well, Paul, you don't know what it's like. And he can say, yes, I do, because I'm writing this from a prison cell. You don't know what it's like for people to laugh at you. You don't want to know what it's like. You have no idea. Well, yes, I do. There's a place in Scripture where Paul acknowledges all the things that happened to him. Shipwrecked, snake bit, stoned. Yeah, well, yeah. He knows exactly what you're going through. He's been there. Jesus has been there. They persecuted him. They killed him. And yet he did it for you and I. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Paul is writing this letter, and he said, I got to tell you, I know you're going through some difficult times, but it's going to be so great. I got to tell you, what's going to happen in the future, just hang in there, because I want you to know I love you so much that I pray for you daily. So tomorrow morning, when you pray for that person on the front of you and behind you and the right side, now if you don't know their names, you get their names before you leave tonight. You just can't say the guy in the green shirt. I mean, that's not going to work out at all. You need to know who in the world you're praying for and pray in this manner. Matter of fact, I would open up Ephesians chapter 1 here and I just take this first part and say, okay, I'm going to be praying for you and I'm going to cease not to pray for you. I'm going to consistently pray for you over and over and over. Is there anybody in here that would not like somebody praying for them? Wow. Does that mean we all could use prayer? Okay, I challenge you. Tomorrow morning, pray for that person on the right, left, in front of you, behind you. And then he says this. He does this because of all things for the church. And then he says, which is his body. Isn't that interesting? It's his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. In other words, Jesus fulfilled all prophecies that were about him. Jesus fulfilled every one of them. My younger years, when I was really deep in apologetics, one of the things that I wanted to know is, well, how many prophecies were there? And what would be the odds of somebody fulfilling all of those? Well, somebody did that work. Anyhow, they put it on a piece of paper, and there's not enough zeros in the world for me to get to that number. But I don't have to have it mathematically proven to me. I know what has happened in my life. I don't need mathematics to show that. So he says, you're part of the bride, you're part of his body, and by the way, he is all in all. And he fulfilleth all in all. I want to say, praise you, God, for sending your son to die for me. Happy hands, happy hands, happy hands. I couldn't be happier about that. Because he did it knowing that I'm going to continue to be a sinner. And he loved me so much, he sent his son anyway. He knows what a scoundrel Bob Crowder is. He knows. He knows my hypocrisy. He knows the lies that I tell. He knows the sin that I fall into. He knows when I do wrong. He knows that when I know that to do right, I don't do. Oh, that's Paul, isn't it? Yeah, Paul says that. The things I know I should do, I don't, and the things I know I shouldn't do, I do. I think about that passage all the time because, boy, that is me. I'm reminded of the song, Standing in the Need of Prayer. And I got to tell you, I'm consistently standing in the need of prayer. So if you're in, are you going to be praying for me? Okay. Pray really hard. There's a song, and I'm just singing a little bit here, and then we'll be closed. When all of my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Started it too high. Oh, that will be glory for me. I can't wait for that day to come. I can't wait for Jesus to come back. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. But until then, I have a job to do. Until then, I have people to talk to. I have relationships to build. I have fences to mend. That is my job. And as he is telling this church this, he's preparing them for what's going to happen in chapter number 2, because he's going to talk to them personally about what happened in their lives. So start reading in chapter 2, and we'll be into that next week and look forward to that. In a couple of weeks, I'll be presenting the vision of the church. We're going to do it on a Sunday night. Originally, I was going to do it in here, but Bob, I think we might go into the fellowship hall because I really want to present it in such a way, and I'm going to have a couple of things for you to do while we're looking at that. But I see this church beyond my vision with my eyes. I see this church with a vision of my heart. I see this church with a vision that God gave me when he called me here to be your pastor. I have a vision for this church, and I'm not going to limit God. And all it takes is for us to say, I'm here, Lord. I'm here, Lord. Whatever it takes, whatever steps I need to take, whatever you want me to do, sign me up, buttercup. Buckle me in, because I am ready to go. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity and the time that we have to study your word. I thank you for this letter that Paul has written. I thank you, dear God, that in this time, Lord, we have an example of the prayer that he sent to them. How wonderful it must have been for them to read this letter. How wonderful it must have been for them to understand that through all the things that are going on in their lives, that Paul was never ceasing to pray for them. And he was thankful for their work that they were already doing, and he was praying for them. He was thankful for the work that Jesus had already done in their lives, and he's praying for them. He's thankful for the work that's going to happen in the future, and he's praying for them. Father, let us continue to be a praying church. Father, I pray that you'll just give us the strength that we need in order for us to fulfill the role that you have for us. Father, I pray that as we go out this week, as we run our, starting a Monday, and we start our day, Lord, help us to look at that person in the front, behind, on each side, and let us wholly pray for that person. Let us pray for them, lift them up. Let us pray a prayer of protection over them. Let us pray a prayer of knowledge. And Father, I pray that our church, Lord, will see this, and the world will see that we are Christians by the actions that we take. And Father, I'll ask these things in your Son's name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.